Good morning. Let us pray. Lord, write your word on our minds and on our hearts. Help us to understand your word and to live by it. In Jesus' name, amen. So the excitement is building. As Jenny said, it's Christmas Eve Eve. We have that in our family every year, Christmas Eve Eve. I don't know how many other people have, how many more Eves you can add, but we certainly start with Christmas Eve Eve. The shopping is done, maybe. We were fortunate enough to be with Nanette's family last year in New Zealand for Christmas, which was great. But if I'm being honest, it almost felt like we skipped Christmas, because the sunshine and the barbecues and the outdoor life, it's not really Christmas. And Nanette's not here, so she can't contradict me. You'll notice all my entire family has now disappeared into Sunday school, which is probably means I can mention them a lot more than I normally would. But it's good to be back to what I'm used to. The traditions are kicking in, and the cliches. We watched It's a Wonderful Life last night on DVD. So Christmas is almost here. But sometimes it's easy to get lost in Christmas, in the preparations and in the traditions, in the materialism and the consumption and the secular culture, but also I find in the churchy stuff, the familiar aspects of the Christmas story, the carols, the hectic busyness of the church at this time of year. Christmas can become almost routine. With good bits, still have good bits, but also bad bits. And the Christmas story can be taken for granted by non-Christians, new Christians, and old Christians. So maybe the excitement is building. Maybe just the nervousness and hecticness and busyness is building, or maybe a bit of both. But what are we excited about? As we close in on the big day, I want to take some time to rethink and reconsider Christmas excitement. To cut through feelings of Groundhog Day or going through the motions. And also to cut through the Christmas fatigue and cynicism. And to look again at what we take for granted and to think about Christmas in the context of reality, in the context of God's reality. I know fresh thinking is a big ask. There's too much going on in my head at the moment, Martin. Well, let's start simple. Well, relatively simple. Let's start with two pregnant women. Two faithful, very real women. Cousins, in fact. Elizabeth, the elder, is, we think, about 6 months pregnant after waiting and waiting so long for her first child. Mary, the younger, has just found out that she too is pregnant far, far sooner than she expected. Let's think about Elizabeth and Mary. They were Jewish. No, I hear you say, really, Martin. Jewish, you say? You're hot today, Martin, the stuff you know. Okay, maybe this is not a surprise, but let's think a bit about it again, because it's one of those things we take for granted. Sitting in Letchworth in England in 2018, we should be careful. Careful not to project our own knowledge and expectations onto Mary and Elizabeth. And careful not to underestimate them either. Not to assume they share our own limitations. Remember, they had grown up with God as part of their lives and their culture. With the Old Testament prophets and the stories of God's faithfulness to the Jewish people. Mary and Elizabeth knew that God had blessed his people and had always kept his promises. And they knew the Jewish dream, the biggest of God's promises, the Messiah, the king who would come to save them from their enemies and make everything, everything right. They had inherited this dream. It was part of who they were. So while they cannot help but have been amazed and surprised when God chose each of them, Elizabeth to bear John, perhaps the greatest prophet ever to have lived, according to Jesus, and Mary to bear the Messiah himself. While they cannot help but have been shocked and surprised, they were in some ways that perhaps we wouldn't have been. They were perhaps prepared. They had some inkling of the magnitude of things, of the size of things, some idea of what was going on. And they were excited. By the way, it strikes me that there's something profound and deep about the way God works. I know, another theological stunner from Hannon, God is deep. But I want you to think a little bit about the parallels between the birth of a child and the coming of the Messiah. For an expectant parent, the birth of a child is a long anticipated and much hoped for event, but they don't really know what's going to happen. For the Jewish people, the Messiah was a long anticipated and hoped for event, but they didn't really know what was going to happen. In both situations, something amazing and life-changing is expected. And in both situations, there is excitement about something not fully understood. For both with the Jews and the Messiah, and for Mary and Elizabeth, who had it double whammy. They were both expecting the Messiah and expecting their first baby. Can you imagine the anticipation, the joy, the panic, the fear, and the excitement? I like Elizabeth. Elizabeth gets proper loud and shouty excited. When Mary greets her, in the NIV, the reading we heard today, it says, "In a loud voice, Elizabeth exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored, and the mother of my Lord should come to me?'" I like "in a loud voice," she exclaimed. I would say shouted. I can get excited like Elizabeth. When I was little, I used to jump up and down in front of the television when things got exciting. As I have grown older, I still get excited. Typically, less often, but typically when I watch rugby. Unfortunately, when I throw myself around now, I'm not quite as little. I have broken one sofa so far. Yes, I can wholly identify with Elizabeth when she shouts her blessing. This week, while I've been preparing this sermon, I've been listening to a number of songs. Some of them, like Mary, Did You Know, Noel, very Christmassy. Some of them, or two of them, are very, very specific and are about 2 Samuel verse, chapter 6. And Undignified by Matt Redman, and I Will Be Undignified by the Rend Collective. 2 Samuel chapter 6 is the passage that tells how King David sacrificed his dignity and danced before the Lord with all his might as he led the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. It says, "Wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might." When criticized about his behavior by Saul's daughter, he replies, "I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this." Elizabeth's exuberant excitement, shouting, perhaps screaming, when she sees Mary, reminds me of David's excitement. Unlike her cousin, Mary doesn't shout. But in the words of Mary's response, we see another kind of excitement. It is reflective and thoughtful, but you can see a building crescendo of excitement. It might help to, if you've got it next to you, turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 39 to 55. I'm just going to talk a little bit about what Mary says. I won't go through verse by verse, so you won't lose anything if you don't look at it. But it might help. She starts by recognizing God in her heart. Her soul, her true self, recognizes and magnifies and glorifies God. And then Mary says, God is mindful even of me. He is mighty and powerful, holy and good, and he is merciful too. He scatters the powerful, the rulers, the rich, and he feeds the hungry and fills them with good things. And he is trustworthy and faithful to his people, and he keeps his promises. Mary's song is an excitement that shows a lot of thinking and reflection. And in the preparation for talking to you today, I've read a lot about what other people are thinking about this song. And it's a common theory that she traveled about probably about 2 days to get to Elizabeth's house, and it's possible she was thinking about this on the way. I like the idea of a very thoughtful Mary. Both Elizabeth and Mary were very, very religious and had been faithful to God throughout their lives. This thinking gives another dimension to Mary for me, which I like to get to grips with. In my imagination, Mary is a very determined woman, a very determined young woman. You can't overemphasize the young. She was very young, but of deep faith, and who trusts God wholly and completely. And that is where her excitement sits, on that depth. I get excited like Elizabeth, but I also get excited like Mary, reflective and deep down excited. When I married Nanette, and especially and particularly when Rebecca and Daniel were born, I got deep down excited. And when I think about Christmas and the birth of Jesus, like Mary, I get deep down excited. When I remember God's plan, I get deep down excited. When I think about Mary's words and remember how God is mindful of me, when I remember that he thinks about me and cares about me. A little bit of an aside, has anybody been watching MasterChef The Professional this year? So, okay, good, there's at least 4 or 5 people nodding, that's good, that'll do, I'll talk about it. It's the first time I've watched it. It's the first time we've watched it in my house. We've watched other cookery programs, Bake Off, obviously a main staple, and other things over the years. But I've been blown away by MasterChef, the professionals. The skill and focus and imagination and attention to detail are far, far beyond anything I've ever seen in another cookery program. These chefs are not just good cooks. They are differently good, verging on true genius. To be honest, I think it's bonkers. But God's plan for me and for you is more imaginative, even more skillful, and has more attention to detail. God is not just throwing some ingredients on a Martin pizza. He has a perfect idea of what I should be and what you should be. He wants the absolute best for us, and he knows how to get us there. He knows how to get us there despite how hard we try to mess it up. So what is this great plan? Well, simply put, it's about Christmas. It's Jesus. Jesus is God's plan for the world, for you and for me. The little baby boy that Mary is expecting in a small country on the edge of the Roman Empire 2,000 years ago. A baby boy who grows into a man, a perfect human being, a perfect son, whose obedience is total to his death on the cross, and through his sacrifice, who smashes the barrier between us and God. If this does not excite you as much as it does me, think about a little bit about the alternative. In the passage from Hebrews we heard this morning, we heard how for thousands of years, God's people had been going over and over and over again, sacrificing, atoning, making the same mistakes, sacrificing, atoning, making the same mistakes. We repent, we atone, we sacrifice over and over again. We try so hard. It's never enough. It doesn't work. We still go and do it again. We mess it up, just like God's people had always done. Without Jesus, no one gets fixed. No one is transformed. No one is rescued. No one is freed. No one gets to know God. No one is saved. Bleak. So if you don't get excited about Jesus and you don't get excited about Christmas, think about what the alternative is. So that's the deep down excitement of Christmas. That's the excitement that comes through Mary's song. God's plan for us, his people. The peace, the joy, the biggest of biggest of biggest of deals. So as we get immersed in Christmas this week, the happiness, the sadness, the busyness, the loneliness, the expectations, the disappointments, and the memories, the people, the food, the shop stuff, and the church stuff. I want us all to think about Elizabeth and Mary, two faithful and godly women, two pregnant women, and about two types of Christmas excitement: dancing, shouty, undignified excitement, and deep, thoughtful excitement about how a baby boy was born to fix the world, to love you and to free you, to take away all the sin and the dross, and to make everything wonderfully and perfectly right between you and God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for Mary and Elizabeth. We thank you for Christmas. We thank you for Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.